the way John tells the Christmas story is actually that he does not tell the story at all, at least in the way Matthew and Luke do, and they're tender, gritty, filled with details way. Matthew favors Joseph. He traces Jesus' ancestry back 14 generations or more. You could doze off somewhere between Rehoboam and Jehoshaphat, and no one would really blame you. Luke, on the other hand, loves Mother Mary. He tells you all about Mary and what she thought and what her cousin thought and what her cousin's baby thought, the baby not even born yet. When born, he will be John the Baptist. Luke says the baby leapt in his mother's womb, no doubt causing his mother a little discomfort, but expressing the appropriate honor and joy. It is Luke who tells us about the census decreed by Augustus, about the journey to Bethlehem on the part of Mary and Joseph. Luke tells us how many empty hotel rooms there were in town the night Mary and Joseph arrived. None is the number. Last Sunday afternoon when we had our Christmas pageant here at Morningside, I remembered a story that was told in a church I served previously about a Christmas Eve Christmas pageant in which the children performed all the parts. The kid who was playing Joseph arrived at the inn. He knocked on the cardboard door. The innkeeper opened it. Joseph asked, "Do you have any room in your inn?" The innkeeper, with obvious compassion in his heart, answered, "No, but why don't you two come on in and have a drink?" John gives us none of these details about the journey, the conception, the reception, none of those details. Rather, John takes the cosmic approach. Can't you see him sitting with pen in hand, blank parchment before him, asking himself, how can I do this? How can I write about the most momentous event that has happened since time began? John was not, of course, the author of the narrative. He was only its teller. He was clear about its theme. You can find the theme of John's gospel in the third chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the theme. John wanted to write God's love story. He wanted his readers to know that Jesus came to earth as the very incarnation of God, whose nature and will and being are love. God's Son, here to embody that love and to teach us how to love one another. So how do you tell a love story, especially one marked by mystery and majesty that are unprecedented? John just takes the plunge. He scribbles, In the beginning was the Word, and then he's off to the races. His pen can barely keep up with his thoughts. What thoughts they are. The eternal Word, outside of time, before anything else is created, that Word exists. And that Word is the light and life and the source of all creation. John the Baptist will bear witness to the light that is coming into the world. And it is Jesus who comes. And as the great theologian Soren Kierkegaard put it, when he came, he crossed the infinite distance between time and eternity, once and forever. Through the sovereign will of God and God alone, the Word becomes flesh and lives among us. For 21 more chapters, John lets the greatest love story ever told unfold. There are revelations and healings. There are great adventures and dramatic encounters, but nothing that is to come will top the grandeur and the brilliance of the beginning of the gospel. And you have to wonder how an ordinary mortal could pull back the curtain of eternity and find words for what's there. John himself explains how he did it. He writes, "All things came into being through him, that is Christ. And without him, not one thing has ever come into being." Jesus Christ, from whom all truth and goodness and beauty and love flow. And so, who is he? What is it, this word, this source of all? As a friend, a wonderful preacher, has put it, this word is not like a word spoken, the kind of word that preachers love, like salvation or incarnation, words that cost about $10, but no one understands what they mean. The word that was Jesus had no name until Jesus was born. It was as much an idea as anything. It was a word that has to be seen and experienced more than it is heard. Emily Dickinson once wrote, "Some say a word is dead when it is spoken, but I say it just begins to live that day." And so it was with this word, the one that came to dwell among us. What an astonishing thought. The fullness of God's love in the flesh, to be experienced in the life you and I live, in kindnesses exchanged, in a handshake, in an embrace, in the seeing and hearing and tasting of the goodness of life. No wonder we bake pies and mull our cider and light the candles and read the night before Christmas to the little ones sitting on our laps. We're doing it all because we want to say, at least this night, we want to say, we get it. Love came down and lives here still. And when we love one another and when we hope for a better tomorrow, we are announcing that the love story includes us too, would not be complete without us. I have a young friend. He and his wife started a ministry in Southwest Atlanta a few months ago in a very rough neighborhood. They live on a shoestring and a prayer. They care deeply about the people who live in the inner city. I read in their little newsletter this week that aside from or along with cleaning up the glass and trash on the sidewalks every day, this week they had a hot chocolate trolley that went up and down the sidewalks. And he and his wife and their friends, they offer a kind word to every stranger they see, along with a hot cup of cocoa. Some say that Christianity is all about what you believe about various things, but I don't think that. I think it's more about embodying God's love. Listen, there was only one Jesus, and none of us can ever be he. But that holy child of Bethlehem, cannot his spirit live in you and live in me? Cannot the love story that God has with the world continue as we are ambassadors of Christ's peace, advocates of his justice, implementers of his goodness? God could have done it any way God chose, you know. Could have communicated with us through lightning strikes or shifting the planets in and out of orbit. But no, for some reason God decided that flesh and blood would do it. And tonight we come together to say thank you. Thank you for the gift of the Word coming to us. The embodiment of divine love. Someone has said there are three kinds of love. I love you because you've been good. Or I love you if you'll do what I want you to do. But the love of God is that third kind. I love you. I love you anyway, anyhow. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what darkness you're carrying around in that soul of yours, God's love is going to go all the way for you. Because God has done so much for us, we are able to love because God first loved us. It's the real deal, this love of God in Christ. That baby, the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Jehoshaphat, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, divine love here, born into our world just as you and I were, with all the pain and labor accompanying birth, God enters into human existence. Do John's words do it? No, they don't. Finally, they sputter on the parchment, don't they? And so we're left just with music and with longing and with the hope that one day the world will finally be made right and that none of us will ever have any reason to be afraid again. Someone sent me a YouTube link this week. A couple of million people have looked at it already. I've looked at it about five times. You would think it's no big deal. I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you with the highfalutin music we're hearing tonight, it's a rendition of a Benny King song. And oh, what a song it is. It's a song sung all around the world. Rio de Janeiro, Milan, New Orleans, Amsterdam. Different people singing the same simple lyric, a universal plea, a prayer, really. When the night is come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light you see, no, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Not as long as you stand by me. Playing for Change is the name of the video, as in the street musicians and coins put in their violin cases. But I think of it in terms of God's plan to change everything through the power of love. And so tonight we join our yearnings with millions of others praying, please, Lord God, stand by me. Stand by those I love. Stand by the world that you love. And tonight the answer comes in the tiny, compact little package of human flesh and blood that we call a baby. In him is life, and that life is the light of all people. And may that light fill your hearts tonight with hope. And may tomorrow bring the joy that only Christmas can bring. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.